26 and 5. It's just a little phrase. Actually, it's a phrase in each verse I'd just like us to remember. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation great and mighty and populous. And the little phrase is ready to perish. The second reading is in the Psalms, Psalm 38. And verse number 17. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. Third reading is in Isaiah 38. Isaiah chapter 38. And verse 20. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. And the phrase there, obviously, is ready to save. The Lord is ready to save. Now we'll go to the New Testament in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. And we'll read verse 6. These are the words of Paul. He's going to be executed soon. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Ready to be offered, or he's ready to die. He's ready. He's made preparation. And the last reading is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. And verse 44, and these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Maybe I need some water, please. Thanks a lot, Bill. Matthew 24:44. Hey, how about that? Thank you, Brother Richard. Yeah. Matthew 24:44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ye also ready. And God will bless these portions to our hearts. I like to read a lot of the accounts in the past of salvation stories and so on. As you probably obviously know, a ship called the Cunarder, I'm not sure where it was, but sometimes men fall off the ship. Men fall off the ship. And the cry is, man overboard, man overboard. And they act very quickly because the ship is moving. They threw a lifeline out to this man. And it's coming just before his face. He reaches out and grabs it. Strong hands pulled him up into the ship. Now, he was a long time stretched out, and the companions, they had a doctor on board, and they worked on him, and his eyes would open frequently. He almost drowned, this man. And he'd move his lips, but with no sound. Almost like he was in shock or something. And the strange thing is, they couldn't get him to let go of the lifeline. The captain came over and looked at the captain, and he whispered, "Captain, I can't let go. I gripped it for my life." And it was 4 more hours before they could get his fingers loosened up to let go of the lifeline. So we would say about this man that he was absolutely not a fool, was he? He was about to die, and he saw a lifeline within reach. And he also knew this, that it could be his only opportunity to be saved from perishing in the sea. if he missed the lifeline. And you might not have another opportunity to grab another lifeline. And so he grabbed it with all the strength he had. That's why they couldn't even let go. Well, the truth is this solemn truth. Mankind, you here tonight, if you're not saved, if you've never been born again into God's family, and you don't have the assurance of heaven, you are, seriously speaking, from God's word, you are drowning in a sea of sin. You're sinking. You're sinking and sinking every day of your life. You're getting closer and closer to perishing, and tonight a lifeline is being thrown out to you once again, and it's God's salvation. The Lord's hand is not shortened. Well, Isaiah tells us that it cannot save. So it's being offered to you, and by faith. He's not a piece of rope. It's a message. By faith, I believe that Jesus Christ is standing outside my heart's door tonight, and he's saying, open your life up to me, turn your life over to me, embrace me, and I'll be your Savior, and you will not perish. John 3:16, if I believe, God says, never perish. And the strong hand of the Lord Jesus Christ brings you right into the family of God. And he said in John 6:37, him or her that cometh to me to be saved from their sin, to be a new man, to be a new woman. I want to be a woman of God. I want to be a man of God. I want to stop just drifting through life, living for myself. And I really mean it. You've got to mean it. I want salvation, Lord. I want to live my life for you. He will save you. Now, he promises to save everyone. And that verse, John 6:37, he gives a lovely, lovely promise. I will never, never, under any circumstances, cast you out of my family. So we're sure of heaven, those of us in this room, as though we're already there. That's how sure we are. Because the word of the Lord, I think it says that behind me, endureth forever. May God bless you tonight if you're not saved. At some point in time, the gospel message is intended to wake people up out of our sleep. God calls it a sleep of death. Eternal death if we die in our sins. May God bless you tonight if you're here and you're not saved. Time's running out. So as you are sitting here tonight, those in the world who are not Christ ones, Christian, the condition, your condition, their condition, ready to perish. Right now, you're ready to perish. Romans 3 and 9, Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. All under sin. Romans 6, 17, servants of sin. Deuteronomy 26 and 5, Assyrian, ready to perish, was my father, and he went down into Egypt, and Egypt speaks of the world. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, forgiven, saved, cleansed by the blood of Christ. But he that believeth not, if there's never a time in your life when you've turned to Christ, he that believeth not is condemned already. Condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Salvation is understanding, first of all, that I have a great problem. May God bless you tonight, because friend, if you're not saved, you have a very serious problem right now. You might think life's going pretty good for me right now, actually. Well, life might be going all right for you, but you know, one day you've got to leave this place. And if you leave without Christ as your Savior, there's absolutely no possible way you'll be in God's heaven. And there's only one other place, even though he loves you. You never turned to that man who died for you, who loves you, and called you, and called you, and called you. How many times has he spoken to you? And maybe you still sit here tonight, complacent in your sin. May this be the night, friend, God wakes you up. You trust Christ as your Savior. John 3:16, the word perish is in there. We're ready to perish, but God says, I so loved the world, I gave my only begotten Son. And he tells us why. That whosoever, lovely word, anyone, whosoever, believeth, trusts on the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish. God does not want anyone to perish. That's not his will. But have everlasting life. In life, we're born. God says in Isaiah that we are like lost sheep gone astray. You know, sheep need a shepherd. They do. Sheep cannot exist. They die. Their predators eat them. They fall over cliffs. They can't even see hardly about 12 feet in front of them. God says we're like sheep. And sheep need a shepherd. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be the shepherd of you tonight. Your shepherd. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Going our own way, lost sheep, gone astray. That's what Isaiah says. We're all the same. Lost sheep, going astray. A soldier was asked to give his testimony in the language of a soldier. He said, how are you saved? The Lord said to me, halt. Attention, pay attention, right about face. Turn around, 180 degrees. Right about face, soldier. Turn around, this way. Going that way, now this way. March. He said, that was it. That's his testimony. He turned, didn't he? There has to be a turning point in my life. I understand I'm going the wrong way. Jeremiah makes it very clear. Listen to what he says. God's word, chapter 32, verse number 33. And they have turned unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. They have turned unto me the back and not the face. And we're born that way. It's a marvelous thing you're here tonight. To be in this place, the miracle God's performing every day is salvation. Imagine God entering the body, taking up permanent residence by His Holy Spirit for the rest of your life. Now that's a miracle. Changed men and women. Totally changed. I was going that way, living for myself, in the world, going for things in the world, but now I'm a new creation in Christ. Now I'm going this way, God's way. My back's not to Him anymore. It's a miracle. Salvation is of the Lord's. Ready to perish, that's our condition. Then we have a little phrase in Psalm 38, ready to halt. That's the turning point. And when people hear the gospel proclaimed, oftentimes, as they listen to the message, God speaks and a decision is made in one's heart, I am ready to halt. Are you ready to halt? So thus far in your life, you've been going your own way, doing your own thing, and you know that, and God says, are you ready to halt and stop? The psalmist said, I'm ready to halt. My sorrow for his sin is continually before me. I will declare mine iniquity unto God. I will be sorry for my sin. That's conviction. That's contrition. There was a boy, he was a young man. He was 20 years old. George was his name. And he was determined not to go to the gospel meeting. He was supposed to go. He told his wife he was going. He wasn't going. This is before cars. He had a bicycle. He went for a drive in the country. And he came across, he saw a post at the end of somebody's driveway. And he took that road before many times. But this time, there is a piece of paper tacked onto the post. So he wheels his bike over. And he looked at it. Amos 4:12. Prepare to meet thy God. He looked at that. He knew that was from God. Maybe the farmer put it on his post, but it was God that moved the farmer to put that on his post for him. He knew it was for him. And he became convicted about his sin. And he knew he'd been fighting against God. And he put his bike down. He sat down. He looked at that verse. And he realized what he was doing. He'd been running away from God all his life, fighting against God. And this was the great turning point in his life. And he made a decision in his heart. It takes place in the heart. I really, really mean it. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to. I want to go to heaven. And I realize it's up to me. I have to do something with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And doing nothing with Him, you're doing something with Him. You know what you're doing? You're saying, no. No, I don't want God's Son to reign over me. I want to do what I want to do. Well, George made the right decision. And out loud, lifting his voice up into the heavens, he said this, it will be Christ for me. And it was Christ for him. And he was born again, sitting there on the side of the road. Brand new man. Drove home and told his wife the good news, I'm saved. And she wept. Because she'd been saved for 5 years waiting for him finally to come to the end of himself to be saved. You got to turn around. We have to repent. Change my mind. I mean it. I don't want to live that way. I see how the world's living. I see what everybody's doing. God is not in their thoughts. They never read the Word of God. They don't pray. They're not men of God. They're not men of women. And they don't even want to be. And I understand that. And now I say to myself, I'm not going to go with the flow. No way. I'm going to be among the few who are saved and are sure of heaven. Eternity. We're here for eternity. Just a little while down here. Down here, compared to eternity, is like comparing a little drop of water with all the oceans in the world. Eternity's a long time. Time without end. There was a man visiting, I think it was in Pennsylvania. He was looking to go to a place called Hilltown. He didn't know quite where it was. He was on foot. And he came across a resident there, and he said, excuse me. He said, how far down the road here, how far do I have to walk to get to Hilltown? And the man said, 24,900 miles. He said, what are you talking about? Well, if you keep walking that way, you got to go all around the world to get it. But if you turn around, it's 3 miles that way. He was going the wrong way. And that, we're born going the wrong way. We are. We are sinful people. All we have to do is just look around us, look at television, listen to the radio, listen to the words of the songs on the music that's sung today. We are a wicked people. Yes, we are. And God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. During the Civil War, Jefferson was the president of the South, and he sent up a very formal letter to President Lincoln. And he marked off a few states, and he said, you know, we'd like to keep these states so the Southerners, we can run these states ourselves. And he got a very prompt reply from President Lincoln. He said, no, absolutely not. This government must have all. And that's the condition of God's salvation. I want God to reign over me, all of me. I surrender, fully surrender to God. And I trust Him as my Lord and as my Savior. Ready to halt. We hope you're ready tonight. Now we have another ready, and it's a very lovely one, isn't it? We read about it. Isaiah 38 and 20, he said the Lord was ready to save me. And tonight He's ready to save you. He's been ready to save you all your life. See, the problem's not with God, it's with you. You haven't woken up yet. You're so sleeping. Sleeping in your sin. And Satan's doing his best to keep you sound asleep. That's what he's doing with your life. Nehemiah 9:17, thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful. Psalm 86 and 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. All throughout the Bible, we read what a gracious God he is, always ready to save his enemies. We are God's enemies, but he loves us. God is love. We cannot, as human beings, understand this divine love of God that caused him to give his only begotten Son and actually become God the judge and judge his own Son for the likes of us. Rebellious people we are. There was a preacher named Peter Miller in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. I'm still there. I was down there one time. He was there many years ago. He was a gospel preacher. And there was one man in that place who hated God, hated the Bible, hated Peter Miller, because people would listen to him and they'd get saved. So he was always slandering his name, doing his best to stop his preaching. Well, one day Peter Miller heard that he was arrested for treason. And he's down there in Philadelphia. And down in Philadelphia is George Washington. Peter Miller goes down to Philadelphia, has an audience with George Washington, and he's asking for a pardon for this man. George Washington listened, and he said, "I'm sorry. No, I cannot give you a pardon for your friend." He said, "Sir, he's not my friend. I haven't got a worse enemy in the world than that man." And George Washington just looked at him and said, "You mean you've walked 60 miles to save the life of your worst enemy?" He said, "Yes, sir." "Well, that puts things in a different light. I shall grant you the pardon." And he walked 6 miles further, just in time, God's timing. And there's the man about to be hung for treason. And he looked, he saw Peter Miller, and he shouted, "There's Peter Miller coming to enjoy himself and get his revenge by watching me hang." And Peter Miller walked up to him and said, "Here you go. This is for you." And he opened it up, and there was his pardon. And the man was free. He accepted the pardon. The man was free. God is a God of compassion, a God of love. He loves you. He wants to save you. But he cannot save you against your will. You have to want to be saved. "The Lord was ready to save me." Paul is preaching in Acts 13, and he said, "Be it known unto you, therefore, that through this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." That's the only way to have our sins forgiven. That's what shuts us out of heaven, is our sin. But there's forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Chronicles 35 and 14, it says this, "They made ready for themselves." You see, it's personal. They made ready for themselves. So I make myself ready for heaven by coming to Christ, humbling myself before this great God, and embrace him as my Lord and Savior. And what does that bring? It brings salvation. I'm a child of God. You're a brand new person. You won't think the same. You won't see things the same. It's like you're in a dark, dark room. All your life, you're in the darkness. The darkness of sin. And it's like somebody, that moment you trust Christ, the miracle happens. It's like a light goes on. And you suddenly see. And you know. And many people, me included, will weep. They'll weep after that moment. Because you know in your heart, "I'm saved. I'm born again. God is mine. Heaven's my future. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you." And that's the Christian life. Just one long "thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me." Condition ready to perish. Conviction, contrition ready to halt. Compassion ready to save. And now we have confidence. And that's what you get after you trust Christ as your Savior. Confidence. What did Paul say? He's going to have his head cut off Shortly thereafter, because he was a gospel preacher, he had no crime. He committed no crime. He was a gospel preacher. That's what they cut his head off for that. The Jews. He said this. Very calmly, he's writing from prison to Timothy. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Notice how he refers to death. The time of my departure. He's going somewhere. When we die, we go somewhere. We leave our bodies, we go somewhere. If I know Christ, I go to heaven. If I don't know Christ, I go to hell. It's very simple. Heaven's for those who've trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, and hell's for those who didn't. Very straightforward. It's all about the Son of God. Will I have Him reign over me, or will I not? And the answer is, God's waiting for an answer from you. Say, yes, Lord, tonight's the night. All my life I've been running away from you. I know I have. But now I'm ready to halt. And then you can have that confidence. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, we Christians are confident. It's to be of good cheer, to be full of confidence, overflowing with confidence. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from my body and present with the Lord. 1 John 5, the Lord said through John the Apostle that He's given us eternal life. He says, I've written these things unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, you may know you have eternal life. We're not hoping to go to heaven. You know, there are days I don't feel saved. And there are days I don't feel close to God. But I have never doubted for one split second in my lifetime since I've been saved. I've never doubted that if I die, I will depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Because it's not feelings. It's my faith in the Word of God, and this book will never change. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And the tense of that is this, to be in a saved state of being permanently. Permanently. It never ends. Salvation. Ready to be offered. Ready to die. Are you ready to die tonight? If I know Christ, yes, I'm ready to die. I'm ready. If you're not saved, my friend, you'll perish. You're ready to perish. The politician was in the hospital and some of his friends came in. I want to cheer him up a little bit. He's very sick. So one of them remarked on his appearance, you look better today. He said, gentlemen, it's not my appearance that I'm concerned about. It's my disappearance. He wasn't saved. He's lying there in his bed in the hospital. He knows it's coming. He knows it's coming. I saw a man last week in Worcester. I went to see him in the hospital. His color is yellow. I don't know how long he's got. Cancer of the liver, not too long. But this man's a believer. He's not concerned about his disappearance. He has a smile on his face. I read a psalm to him. He said, amen, what a wonderful Savior. That's what it's like for a Christian to die. There's a gentleman who's gone home to glory about 3 years ago named Bob Davies. Lived in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. I stayed in his home many times and preaching down there at the assembly in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. And one night he told me a little story about his sister and father. He's from England. That's where he grew up, over in England. I'm not sure where. His dad was a fisherman. He had a sister. Mother, a Christian. Bob, at that time, 15 years old. He was a born-again Christian. Mother and son and daughter, 12 years old, also a Christian, a Christ one, but not daddy. No thank you, not for me, at least not now. Well, Bob was telling me this himself about his own sister and his father. She's very sick in the hospital, very sick, and she's going to die. They all knew she's going to die. She has to see her daddy, Bob's father. Well, he came. And he's standing at the foot of her bed looking at his daughter. She said, Daddy, thank you for coming. Daddy, I'm not here long, you know that. I know that. I want you to promise me something. And he said, what is that, my dear? I want you to promise me that you'll go to the gospel meetings on Sunday night with Mommy. That you won't miss one. You'll go with Mommy to the gospel meetings. Because I want you to be saved, Daddy. What's he going to say now to his 12-year-old daughter who's dying? He loved her. He said, I promise. He said, you mean it? I mean it. And she smiled. She said, thank you, Daddy. I have to go now. The angels are here. She closed her eyes and she died with a smile on her face, breathed her last, and went home to be with the Lord. And that's that. Right from the lips of Bob Davies himself. The angels are here. She saw the angels around her bed. An angelic escort. That's how a Christian dies. And is taken right up into glory. Confidence. You can have that tonight, friend. If you're ready. If you're ready to halt tonight. And finally, we have a caution. A caution. Be also ready, the Lord Jesus said. He's bringing something else to our attention. Not just death. We know that's coming. He said, be ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He said in John 14:3, I will come again. You know, everything in the Old Testament that God said he would do, he did. Without exception, every single thing God said, I will do this. Sometimes it was hundreds of years later, I will do this. And without exception, he did everything he said he would do. So if he said, I will come again, we can understand that. And we know he is coming again. He promised he's coming again. So he said, be ready. For when you don't think I'm coming, in a day ye think not, that's when I'm coming. It's going to be an ordinary day. Just an ordinary day. And he's coming back. And my friend, it's so solemn because the door of heaven will be closed. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There was we know this man, Alexander the Great. We know of him. He's an encyclopedia. He conquered the whole world, the then known world. After he did, after he, the last country, a soldier saw him sitting down weeping and went over to him and said, what is the matter, sir? You know why he was weeping? He said this, there are no more worlds to conquer. He got it all. And his heart is just as empty as it was when he began. And he got it all. And he's weeping. Tells a little story, doesn't it? There's nothing under the sun that I can get. I can get it all. You can get it all. And you'll still be empty within. He was a gracious man, you know. When he went down to a city, where the army was, they had their armies, he'd hoist a white flag. And that white flag signified that if the garrison yielded at once, they'd be kindly treated, the soldiers and the people of the city. After a time, no response. He hoisted a red flag. And that meant the people would be spared. Soldiers die. Cities doomed. No response. A black flag. And the black flag meant war to the death. And there was death. Oh yes, there was death. He meant what he said, you know. And there was blood flowing throughout that city because they wouldn't surrender. You know, for 2,000 years, God's been flying a white flag of grace. Come unto me. I know how much you've sinned. I know all about you. I know the things you've said and done and so on. But I love you. I died for your sins. Come to me. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. Nothing to do. Nothing to do. By grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You know, but all the time, for the last 2,000 years, there's been a red flag waving in the background, hasn't there? Flag of warning. John chapter 8, he said this, if you die in your sins, whither I go, you cannot come. That's a warning. Die in your sins, whither I'm going, you can't come. And you know, very soon, the black flag may be unfurled by God, and then there's no hope. He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming. Matthew 25, 46, and these who believe not on me, who would not bow the knee, listen to what he said, shall go away into everlasting punishment. How solemn is that? Everlasting, lasting forever, punishment. And what's the great crime? I would not have Jesus Christ reign over me. My will, I would not give him my will. I stubbornly refused. May God bless you tonight. May you halt tonight and in your heart make a decision. It will be Christ for me. May God bless you. We'll pray. Father in heaven, in that worthy and wonderful name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we approach thy throne. We thank thee for the assurance that thou hearest us, thine eyes upon us, thy presence is with us, Father. We thank thee, and for the gospel we thank thee. We thank thee the door still open, Father. The black flag has not been unfurled yet. Sinners may come, whosoever will. We pray tonight, Father, for any in our little company who perhaps have never yielded to thee and trusted in thy Son as Savior. May this be the night of nights for them. We commend the seed sown to thee, these dear ones to thee, for whom Christ died. May they trust him tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you for coming.
Number 341. Tonight you have heard the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you have an opportunity to come, believe and trust in him, and know him as your Savior, and find him wholly true. Let's sing number 331. Once again, the gospel for the Savior you have heard. Okay?
Once again.